Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I'm so glad you're listening today. We have some cool stuff to talk about. We often talk about kids ministry tips and techniques and ideas. Today, we're going to talk about one of those things that goes a little bit next level with our jobs, right? Most of us got into kids ministry because we love kids. Maybe you're gifted with communicating God's word to children in ways that they understand and connect with. And that's wonderful. But it doesn't take very long as a leader to figure out that we are not just teachers of children, we are leaders of adults. And therefore, we need to figure out how to develop other leaders and to make ourselves, to multiply ourselves through others. And that can be a challenge for us. So today I've got with us a good friend. I've actually really, really enjoyed the time I've had with Andrew, getting to know him, Mr. Andrew Hudson. Andrew, you've got multiple titles.
Good friend.
You're the brand manager of Bible Studies for Life. But you also oversee media production, and you're a media guy like I am. So we've kind of had a lot of fun media connections over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a weird past to get us to where we are here today, but excited to be with you guys. Leadership development is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Well, you have three favorite things to talk about, I think. One of them is your daughter. So you like to talk about B. So tell us about her.
That's true.
I mean, Susan.
Susan's my wife, and she's great. But B is our 4-year-old little girl, and she is the most fun thing right now. So even just this morning, I got to take her to school, and she wanted to wear pigtails. And so we put her in little braided pigtails, and she like walked over to the mirror and was looking at them, showing them off to people as we walked into school. So it's the small little things that get her excited that then get us very excited.
Yeah, it's fun. Now, you admit it, though, you were scared to death when you knew you were going to be a dad.
Especially to a little girl.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm doing. This has been such a training and learning process for me. I still don't really understand girls, and this one is really, really tough and really great.
Yes. And I've been there. My first was a daughter, and when Tally was born, I had no clue. I mean, the reality is, as parents, nobody knows what they're doing. When you're a first-time parent, you don't have a clue. And yeah, people have been doing this for thousands of years, right? But not you. And so everybody makes mistakes and everybody learns as they go. But the crazy thing is just how much you fall in love with that little person.
That's right. The way she wants to snuggle with me in the morning, yes. So every morning we give her a little bit of yogurt and she sits down on the couch. And while Susan and I are having our coffee, she has her yogurt. And today she was like, today is daddy's turn to get the snuggle.
Nice. I'll take that, right?
I'm in.
All right. So right. I know you love to talk about your family. The next thing that I think of when I think of you that you like to talk about is barbecue. You're a smoker.
That's right. A proud Texan, brisket loving. Pulled pork has come around for me. I didn't know what white sauce was until I met my wife, who's from Alabama, and which is where it's famous. But white sauce is growing on me. But man, if you can do your brisket well, you're a friend of mine. And so what's been really fun is I travel around a lot, and I always try to find the best barbecue restaurant in the city. And what's really fun about the barbecue world is there are no secrets. And so as you go up to a pit master and say, hey, can I get a tour of your pits? And they look at you and they're like, are you sure? And like, yeah, like I'm also in there with you. And, I'll show them my Instagram, and we just have, it's a way to meet new friends.
Yeah. Well, so I have not yet had a chance to eat anything that you've made, but I'm waiting for the invitation. Just so you know, I mean, we're on the record now on the podcast. I'm just waiting for some kind of melt in your mouth, fall apart meat. So you just let me know.
So I make this one thing that I call face bacon, and it is the best thing I think bacon? I make. So it's the pork jowl. It's the cheek of the pig, and I cover it in brown sugar and a bunch of other spices. And when you throw it on the smoker for about 3 or 4 hours, it just caramelizes, and it is candy. So I will bring you some
face
bacon.
You lost me at jowl. You got me back with candy. So I think there you go. Well, so the other thing that you love to talk about is leadership. And that's what we want to discuss today as we have this opportunity to chat together. But I think it was a little bit fortuitous that we started off by talking about parenting, because there's a few things that we have in common in kids ministry with all of your passions. One is, just like being a first-time parent, none of us really truly know what we're doing in ministry. I mean, we have to figure it out, right? And as much as there's this whole history and some of us are educated, there's something to actually doing it that you learn so much as you go. And we have to figure it out along the way. The next is like barbecue. You said everybody shares their secrets. That's a great thing about ministry, is truthfully no one who knows what they're doing or who's got the experience is looking to hoard that to themselves. You know, we're people are very giving to share their experiences and to mentor or to encourage at least other people who are coming along. And we should all be looking to bring up leaders behind us. And that's what we want to talk about today. If your ministry is just you, you're not doing it right. And if your ministry has no impact on the other adults that you're working with, you're probably not doing it right. So let's talk a bit about leadership. It's something that we both love. And let's talk about developing people. Where do we start, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's an important thing to remember. And I've never thought about it as parenting, but this is also ringing true for me, is that there are different types of people. Right. Some people are really organized. Some people are the people. Some people love to be on stage. Right. And some people love to be, one on one or one on small group with these kids. And so it's important to think about individual volunteers as individuals. Yeah. So let's place them in your ministry in specific areas. Don't just say, hey, I need somebody to get on stage and everybody needs to run up on stage. Like, that's not my personality, right, for sure. But if you want to put me in a spreadsheet, and I will organize the snot out of that spreadsheet, and I will track every single volunteer that comes, and I will track every single kid that comes, and I will have their address, and we will send mailers out. And that is my personality, right? And so that is the thing that I love to do. But if you were to put me on stage, I would be out of my wits, and I would be like, I don't like volunteering with the kid department.
Yeah. So,
treat everybody as individuals.
So therefore, we need to make an effort to get to know the people we lead, to know how they're gifted, right? Because really, God is gifted with spiritual gifts, all of us in a unique way. And so it takes those who are organizers and those who are managers and those who are performers or teachers or relationally oriented. And really, you want to have a good team that is well-rounded in all those things. We can tend to look for people who are just like us, and that may not be the best way to grow a team. We need to staff to our weaknesses, right?
Absolutely. So especially, we don't need a whole team of Chuck.
For sure.
Right.
Who can handle that?
No church. No one could. A team of Andrews might be better. I don't know. Debatable for sure. So it's one of those things of like how there is no one person that is going to be able to do it all. And so your net needs to be wide reaching. And so then you need to be able to sit down with each person and buy them coffee, get to know them. You're going to spend hopefully the next few years with these people, spend an hour on the front end, getting to know them, getting to know what makes them tick. What are their passions? How do we make this volunteer time successful for the volunteer, not just for your own ministry? Don't be selfish about your own ministry. Minister, your ministry now is not only to those kids, but it is also to the parents.
Well, if you raised a point there that I want to go a little bit deeper on for a second. We may tend to look to staff our teams or to build our teams based on specific needs. I need someone to be in the first grade room at this time every week and do the lesson. As opposed to getting to know our team and looking for the right fit for those people according to their giftedness and satisfaction. One of the biggest struggles in kids ministry is recruiting people and retaining them as volunteers. And so much of that can come down to if we have maybe the right person, but in the wrong role, we might burn them out and use them up quickly, especially if we never take time to get to know their passions and their strengths.
That's right. So yes, sometimes you need that first grade teacher just to go in and lead the lesson, right? So I'm reminded of whenever I first started leading my media team, I staffed my team as I thought it as it should be. It was the way that we had always done it. And I sat back for about 6 months and kind of just watched my team, how they operated themselves. And then I sat down with one of my guys and was like, it looks like you aren't having any fun. Like, it looks like you don't enjoy this aspect of the job that we have put in front of you. And he said, you know what? You're right. I really wish I could just do this other part, but I would be willing to do it for everybody on the team. And I said, well, that's interesting. And so let's think through that. And I know that what you're really good at is a weakness of the other guys on my team. And so that would make our entire team better if we just shifted some of the work around. And so we ended up completely redoing the way my team was staffed, or at least the job descriptions for my team. And we became more efficient. We became healthier. We started having more fun. We became more creative. And so in the same vein, I think your ministry could, at some point, it just needs to function, right? Like, I need volunteers. Let's go. But let's take a step back. You've been doing it for a while now. Now look into each person's skill set, each person's passion, and try to place them appropriately.
So part of that is observing. Part of that is interacting. And a lot of it is sure is listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, if I hadn't seen what one of my guys was really struggling to do, but then be able to ask that question, hey, are you having fun? Are you enjoying this? Are you, you know, I'm truly terrified. My team is always going to walk out. Right. So I am consistently one of those guys that says, I want us to be having fun. Like, God has gifted us with a lot of skill and a lot of talents, but I still want it to be fun. I want this to be glorifying to God. And so how do we make sure that everybody is at their best? Well, am I at my best if I'm doing X, Y, or Z? Okay, great. Let's go after that. If not, let's change it.
So we can't try to fit everybody into the same peg hole, right? You think square peg, round hole, trying to cram people in. We need to really figure out the right fit for people. So part of this is, right, we all have the job to do. You've got the job with your media team to get done, and it's getting done. That's level one. The second level is to find out how to do it in a way that's enjoyable and sustainable. That's another part of it. So as you, as you encourage us as ministry leaders to get to know the people that we're working with or who are working with us, to find their areas of strength and where they're thriving and find opportunities for them. Those are all really good tips for us. A lot of us don't think of ourselves as leaders or as developers of leaders. We think ourselves as kids teachers or, you know, that sort of a thing. How might we need to change our thinking about developing other leaders? Why is that an important thing for us to even be concerned with?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
as opposed to just getting through the next Sunday, you know what I mean? Keep the kids safe for an hour, give them something good to take away. That's the job. Because it's a very different ask to say, no, really, we need to be looking at developing other leaders.
Absolutely. You're going to burn yourself out. You've got to start replicating replicators, right? And so if you are trying to do everything on your own, then you're simply going to burn out of it. So you've got to find somebody to replace you for a long time. A lot of leaders are nervous that they're going to find somebody better than themselves, right? And so they are nervous to find that person that is their ultimate boss is going to look at the employee or the volunteer and be like, well, why aren't they doing it? Like, that's not the way it works. So I have built what I think is an incredible team. And that oddly looks really good on me, right? And so it's one of those things that I need to be able to walk out of my team and know that my team is going to handle it if I were sick or if I got hit by a bus or if I just was, if I found a different job, right? If I moved on to a different team, I know that they're going to be in really good hands. I have a friend on a different media team, and I got to sit in on one of his pre-production meetings. This was years ago at this point, but what he built his team, and he said, okay, this person's doing this and this person's doing this and this person's doing this. And all of the jobs were taken at that point. And so he kind of is looking around the room and he's like, well, I guess I'll take the mic stand out on the stage. And what struck me of that is like, I cannot wait until I have built such a solid team that all that is left for the leader to do is to get out of the way and carry the mic stand onto the stage. Like that was his, he built his team, he led his team, and that was all that was left. And so you've got to build this team around you that is going to support you and that is going to support your ministry and is ultimately going to support the community.
Well, speak to that fear, because you said, and I think you're right, that some people are worried that someone else is going to outshine them. And it's gonna reflect poorly on their ability to do the job. Truthfully, as all the years that I've been a leader, one of my biggest goals, and I think this is one of the reasons that I connect with you so well, is one of my biggest goals is to work myself out of a job, right? I want to have my team members be better than I am at things. If it came down to it, I want to empower someone else to do that because I know it will be done even better than if I did it myself. But there's a different mindset there, isn't there? There's one, maybe it's a difference of insecurity versus security. How might you characterize that? And how can you encourage those of us who may be feeling a little bit insecure that this is worth doing?
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a leader by who they surround themselves with. So A players hire other A players. Right. And so they are not nervous about outshined people. Right. And so even in the barbecue world, the reason why there are no secrets is like, I'll tell you how I'm going to do it, but I promise you, I'm going to still outwork you. Right. I'm still going to do it. I've got the experience, but here are all of my secrets. Right. So a B level leader is going to hire C level talent. Right? Because they don't want to be outshined. So you can tell a lot about a leader by who they surround themselves with. Find those leaders that are surrounding themselves with other top tier talent.
And so for us, as we do that, what are some practical ways that we might look to lead other people? We, you know, a lot of us may be new in leadership. You and I both have the benefit of several years of professional leadership in our roles. What about that new leader who may be younger than the people on their team, who may be, may not have a family of their own, maybe had never been a parent, but is leading people who are parents? What's your word to those people? How do you, and I know you love leadership constructs. You know, we like to talk about different formulas and different concepts and things for leadership. Do you have something there that you might point a young person or a new leader to?
Yeah, the first thing I would recommend is having your volunteers do a very, very simple personality test. And so once you can figure out who you're working with, you yourself need to be a student of personalities and psychology and how do you get the most out of your volunteers. And so something like a Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram is super popular right now. You can figure out where people should go and what their strengths might be. If you can peel back some of the layers of those volunteers, they might learn more about themselves in this process as well. So that's really fun, is showing people how to be the best person that they can be, the best volunteer that they can be. And then I would just enable them. I would enable, like if one of the things on my media team is like, tell me what you need. If you don't tell me what you need, I can't help you. So if you need a new piece of gear, if you need more time, if you need more budget, if you need X, Y, or Z, let me go to bat for you. Mm-hmm. Like that is my job, is to fight. Yes. I'm going to go and talk to the higher ups and say, okay, we need X, Y, or Z. Let them set them up to be creative, set them up to be good volunteers, set them up to be good leaders. And then I would just start pulling in guys that are, who's your number two? Who's your number three, right? So if you did get hit by the bus, who are you going to leave the team to? And you've got to spend time with them. And you've got to build them up. You've got to teach them everything that you know. So we talk about intentionality and we talk about availability. Those are our two big things. If you can do those two things well, then you will set up your volunteers to be great, great leaders.
Leadership happens within the context of relationship. It's hard to do this right
that's
now.
Absolutely.
It's really hard to do this from quarantine, right? And so that's right. a difficult time for us to be doing anything like this when we don't see people in our comings and goings each day to check on them and ask that question. I love that question. What do you need? What a great question for a leader to ask. If you think about people that have led you, you can learn a whole lot about how you'd like to lead others, right? We learn from the good and bad of different people who have led us. And as I think about That's my right. different leaders, there's many. I learned something from every single person I've ever worked for. And some is good that I want to emulate and some is not so good that I want to not repeat. Another part of that is we need to know ourselves. You mentioned do a simple assessment with your team. It also helps to know, to have personal insight into what your strengths are.
Absolutely. So I know that I'm a learner. I love to read. I love to find the next book. Emotional intelligence, I think, is super high on this list. You need to set some goals for your team. So where are we going? If you don't give them direction, there's a line in Alice in Wonderland is, where are you going? I don't know. Well, then any road will do, mm-hmm. right? So if you don't know where you're going, you're That's headed right. nowhere. I would say leaders are readers. I try to find leaders are readers.
Did
I say that right? Okay. Leaders are readers. I try to find books on every topic that I can. I find a lot of biographies because I look to those leaders and say, I want to emulate that guy. Or maybe I don't want to emulate that guy. Read everything you can get your hands on. Figure out, making leadership just a priority, I think is maybe we should back up and say make leadership a priority in your ministry. That should be step one. As soon as you start thinking about leadership and the way that you can adjust things, the way that you can make your ministry better is already a step in the right direction. So the fact that you're even listening to this now, 20 minutes in, means that you're at least thinking about it, right? So you want to make your ministry better. And that's a good first
step. Well, I think we often approach our ministries from a standpoint, especially in kids where we need so much help. Some of us need a ton of helpers and team members to pull off a Sunday or to pull off an event like a VBS. It takes a lot of hands. And sometimes you really just can't know everyone as personally as you would like to. But building that into your culture, so much of what we're talking about isn't like a checklist of do A, B, C, D, E. It's really to build a culture of team, right? Where it's not just about, hey, what do you bring that you're giving? What is it that this volunteer brings? But how is it that I can invest in them, that I can give to them rather than just take from them? And that makes a huge difference, that sort of pivot of how we perceive our role.
Absolutely. And so I know every single guy on my team, right? But my team is decently small. I still have team leaders. So I've split my team into two, and I have team leaders those team leaders know their teams better than I know their teams, right? And that's the way it should be. So we're delegating responsibility of even that relationship. So as I have check-in meetings, I meet with my team leaders and I say, how is your team doing? Is somebody struggling with their family life or their home life? Well, that's going to affect their work. And so in the same way, you could have a ministry of your number two, your number three guys, and you've set up your little leadership council that now is able to reach farther. Yeah.
Good word. Andrew Hudson, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your insights.
Oh, this was fun.
And I am happy to call you friend, and I'm looking forward to some of that face bacon. Listeners, thank you for listening. I want to encourage you to connect with us. Dig back through kidsministry101.com. Dig back through the archives of our podcast episodes. You will find such a wealth of material there from guys like Andrew and other kids ministry leaders through our back episodes. Check out our blog right there at kidsministry101.com. And I want to encourage you to follow us on Facebook. Like us and follow us so that we show up when you're doing your scrolling before you go to bed at night, that you will see Lifeway Kids in your feed. Look for the Lifeway Kids material on Facebook there. And all of the podcasts and blogs will be pushed right into that feed. And it makes it super easy to find. Andrew would love for me to mention Bible Studies for Life Kids. So as you look for your study materials for your children's ministry, we want to encourage you to check out Bible Studies for Life Kids and preschool. And you can find it at where, Andrew?
Bible Studies for
Life. There you go. And look there for the kids stuff. You'll find sample sessions for kids in preschool, 4 weeks free that you can check out. It's fantastic age graded material built on the levels of biblical learning. And guys, it is worth checking out if you're not already using it. Bible Studies for Life Kids at BibleStudiesForLife.com. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you next time on another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.